And a good Monday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody had a great weekend. Right back at it another week. Should be a fun one. It all begins tonight with a regular season finale, which that's not really why it all begins. But Saturday night was punching the ticket time for the Predators into the playoff spot as they wrapped up a 3-1 victory over Carolina, and that makes it 7 consecutive years, 14 out of 17 years in this franchise's history, they've been in the playoffs. Pretty amazing run that the Predators have been on. Like I said, 7 consecutive seasons now with their win on Saturday. Darren McFarland here, Chase McCabe. Willie will join us in just a bit. And Elijah Campbell at our Wholesale Link Game Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Fun atmosphere, over 7,100 in the building. On Saturday night, to see UC Soros and the Predators, Luke Cunnins, 2 goals, Eric Halla, the empty netter, the place goes crazy. Game 56 of this 56-game regular season tonight. Same 2 teams, and I suspect, Chase, that there'll probably be a lot of bodies that we will see moving forward in this series on both sides, not in the lineup.
Yeah, I would think so. It just makes sense to do it that way, to try and get some – because we all know – you know, if you've watched sports long enough, and especially covering it like we do, we all know that nobody's 100% this time of year. And so I think it's an opportunity to get an extra day to rest your body, get ready for a tough playoff series, because now things are going to really amp up and go to a different level from a physical standpoint. So I think there's going to be a lot of names that are going to be out of the lineup, but I'm curious to see who will be in the lineup for the Predators, especially tonight. You know, could we see the debut of Philip Tomasino? Could he make his NHL debut tonight? I heard the morning guys talking about that, and I had the same reaction you did. So,
well, we talked about it Saturday night, me
yeah,
and you.
Yeah, we did.
Just in that conversation of, okay, if they hold on and they win this game, we were just talking about, Monday night, and we both were like, Tomasino, one game, a one-off.
Sure.
Maybe not a bad idea. Well, it's not a bad idea all around, right? It's not a bad idea for him to get a little taste of the NHL. It's not a bad idea for the fans to see the future, what it looks like. And also, it's not a bad idea for the front office and the coaching staff and the media that are all watching to see what the future indeed looks like. I know it will be one game. It'll be a very small sampling. But, I think it's just to get a good taste of what this young man may be bringing to the table down the road, which I suspect down the road – next year has a real shot, right, for him to get a chance to be a regular. I think he gets a real shot, a real good look at possibly being a mainstay next season.
Yeah, I do too, and it's going to make the offseason that more interesting, because we have these names that either have earned their spot right now that are playing that, but then there are some others that are only here on 1-year deals that you go, man, I'd love to bring them back, but I also got these other guys that are going to be coming back from injury. And so it's in some ways a good problem to have, but there's going to be some tough decisions. But you know what, Darren, we'll worry about those later, because
it's not playoff time. It's not
playoff
time yet.
And I want to know, well, I think I know how you go about this stuff, but listen, there was a time we were having a conversation on this show, and I admit I was the last one to kind of jump in on it, but that it was, yeah, it's time to blow it up. Maybe it's time to make some pretty significant changes when it comes to the roster. And then just we watched it. They had all these guys out of the lineup with injury, and you had these young guys step up, and the whole mindset changed with this team. And now we're sitting here today talking about 7 straight years in the playoffs. And you said, what did you say, 14 of 17? Yeah, mm-hmm. So – I mean, I know there was a time where I was thinking, there's no way we're having this talk, but I'm glad we are. And, so I'm not going to pick on anybody for backpedaling or whatever. I mean, this is the perfect example of that's why they play the games, and you got to play the full season, the full 56 in this year's case. But it's pretty remarkable to think about where they were and where they are now. And I know it's – you know, it's going to be an uphill battle, a tough test to go against Carolina. And if you happen to get through that, then, oh, by the way, you got Tampa or Florida waiting for you. And then if you happen to get through that, oh, by the way, you probably have Vegas or Colorado. So it doesn't get any easier, but the fact that you can say seven straight years in the playoffs is pretty good.
Yeah. It is pretty interesting, like, how some people just haven't learned about how long a hockey season is and the ebbs and the flows, right? And you can't judge a hockey season off a game or a week or a stretch or a patch. It's just silly. I mean, it just screams, like, are you new to hockey? Are you new to the sport? Are you young? Are you impressionable? What is the reason why you haven't figured out that we've been through all this? Like, you got to understand, like, yeah, it doesn't mean because you're talking about something from minute to minute, second to second, hour to hour, like, you know something that other people don't. It just means that you're trying to live in the moment, and that's fine. We live in the moment, too, talking about this team, but you also have to always take a step back and realize that just because you're not hitting the panic button or just because you're not all in a patch or a stretch doesn't mean that you don't have opinions about the team. It just means that maybe you're seasoned. Maybe you understand that these seasons are long and they have to play out. And sometimes, while it's unfortunate, you kind of have to wait. You can still talk about it, but you don't have to go all in one way or the other, right? You can have opinions and you can talk about what's being played or what's happening or what's not happening, but also keep it in perspective, right?
Sure.
Keep it in perspective saying, but it's game 36,
right?
Or it's game 18. Rather than going all in and saying this, you know, pulling the ripcord, or going all in and saying this team is going to win it all. Like, there is middle ground. And it just cracks me up for the people to think, oh, you know, I'm telling it like it is because I evaluate every game of this season and tell it like it is. Okay, well, we can all do that. It doesn't mean you're given a different perspective. We're all doing that. But you also can all back up and say, well, okay, this is what
we see how it plays out.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's more than just, I understand, like, we have a job to do. I mean, fans want to talk about it regularly. We have a job to do. You can't just say, hey, we'll see you after game 82, or in this case, see you after game 56, right? That's not how it works, or at least it's not how it should work in our business. We can't do that. We talk for 4 hours a day live, and the fans want to talk about it too. So I understand all of that. But to go all in one way or the other for an entire hockey season, and in a normal hockey season, you know, 6 months or close to it, 5+ months, is insane. Like, haven't you learned that you have to wait and let this thing play out? We've seen – did you not see the Blues? Did you not see the Predators run? Remember the last team to get in? Did you not see what the Blues did? Remember what we were saying about the Blues on January 1? There's enough examples out there. By the way, there's a whole lot more. This season, look at this team since the halfway point, 19-7-1. And basically, it was just the opposite. What was it, 11-16-1 the first half? Like, it was a tale of two seasons. Like, that's not uncommon in hockey. Like, it's not like, oh, my gosh, what a one-off. The Predators did a one-off. Like, this never happens in the sport. No, actually, that happens more frequently than you would believe. Is it every year? No. But at some point, you do have to talk about it, but also put it in perspective and say, but it doesn't mean things can't change one way or the other, whether things are really good and they can go south, right? Whether it's you get injuries or what have you, or somebody else, other teams get red hot around you and you start kind of trailing off. Or the opposite, like what the Predators did, you start off and you look like you're playing a season that is going to end tonight, right? That's what it looked like. If we would have polled 3 months ago and said, when does the Predators season end? Everybody would have looked at the calendar and said, oh yeah, May 10th, because they did change it, by the way. It wasn't supposed to be Monday, but there were a lot of changes in the schedule. Yeah, Monday, May 10th, that's when it ends. Right? And that you would have thought that. I mean, it's okay to think that back in game 15 of the season. But you also have to go, but doesn't mean that they're out, right? It doesn't mean that it's over. It doesn't mean like, hey, let's move on to something else. Like, let's throw them out with the bathwater. Like, that's it. Season over. It just means like it's a long grind. Things change. Sometimes teams pull out of it. Sometimes they don't. And sometimes that's what they are. But it is a tricky sport. I don't think it's one of those sports where you can just say, this is what they are, that's that, everybody, this is the season, this is what it's going to look like, hey, we'll see you next year.
Yeah. sorry, you got me on that for a second.
What?
the clapping, the sound, it distracted me. I wasn't expecting that. And it's been a morning of unexpected things here on this radio station. But, yeah, no, I agree with you. And that's the tough part. I know I've had conversations with people that are like, you know, I don't envy you because, you know, you may say something one day and then you have to change or things change, the facts change, you know, the next. Or, you know, you get basically judged for everything that comes out of your mouth through a microphone on a daily basis. But it just, this is a prime example of give an opinion and then you got to let things play out. And, you know, as I have said and I've, you know, talked to you about, I've been lucky in, you know, early on in my on-air career that, you know, I didn't really have to go through a patch like that, you know, with the Predators, that they've been pretty consistent with what they've been able to do from a postseason standpoint. So, but I'm glad that we're talking about postseason, that we're sitting here today in May, as they have gotten through this 56 game, or about to get through this 56 game schedule, and now the focus will be on Carolina, as at least the next five games will be against the Hurricanes. So I know it's going to be fun, and we're going to talk to Sarah Sivian from The Athletic at 1 o'clock, get the perspective from the Carolina front. We're going to talk to Adam. So you're going to hear a lot of that coverage coming up because it's playoff time, baby.
It is indeed playoff time. We'll come back. We will bring in Adam Vingan from The Athletic. We do that on the other side as you listen to Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on the DDC, Darren McFarland and Chase McCabe with you here on this Monday morning. Hope everybody's had a good start to your week. Elijah Campbell on the controls here today. Willie will join us in just a bit. Let's say hello and good morning to Adam Vingan from The Athletic. Adam, your thoughts on Saturday's clincher. What did you think?
It was great. It was a great atmosphere. The Predators proved that they won't be intimidated by the Carolina Hurricanes. I thought they played a solid game in the type of game that they need to play in order to beat the Hurricanes, in terms of being playing stout defense in front of the net, being physical, being opportunistic with the chances they did have. So who knows what will happen in the playoffs. You know, I still think the Hurricanes are the heavy betting favorite, but you know, a couple of weeks ago, you might have thought that the Predators would have been steamrolled by whichever team they faced in the first round of the playoffs. Perhaps the series will be a bit more competitive than we thought.
Let's start with the opponent. Give me one of each. Give me the biggest strength, in your opinion, and the biggest weakness, in your opinion, of the Hurricanes.
Ooh, that's tough, because there aren't very many weaknesses. I mean, and there really isn't just one strength. I believe they're top five in the league in both special teams units.
Top three,
they have,
to be exact.
Top three in both special teams units. They have skill up and down the lineup. They have a deep defense. You know, one I would argue is as deep and arguably deeper than the Predators' defense. They, you know, the one question mark would be goaltending. You know, Alex Nedeljkovic, you know, played a good, solid game the other night, and he has good numbers this year. You know, James Reimer, you know, is a veteran who's been through the wars, but you know, he is what he is at this point. And of course, the Predators' kryptonite in the form of Peter Mrazek. You know, I'm not sure if he's going to play in the playoffs, but you know, goaltending would be the one area that the Predators might have an advantage over the Hurricanes. But even then, it's really difficult to find something that the Hurricanes are bad at, because there really aren't many things that they're bad at.
Brendan Moore went with Nedeljkovic on Saturday night. You just brought it up. So before we slide over and answer the same question on the Predators' end, Who do you think he ultimately rolls out there in game one?
I mean, I still think it'll be Nedeljkovic. I think he has had the majority of the starts recently for the Hurricanes, and when you talk to Sarah Sivian, she'll be able to tell you better. But I would not be surprised to see Nedeljkovic in net for the Hurricanes in game one. You know, he's had a good season. But that's a better question for Sarah, I think, and she'll be able to tell you.
All right, we will talk to her at 1 o'clock today. Okay, same question on the Predators side. Biggest strength, biggest weakness, in your opinion, is?
I think the biggest strength is in goal. UC Saros has been incredible for the past 7 weeks, and nothing levels the playing field in the playoffs like a scorching hot goaltender. When it comes to the weakness, look, I think when I look at what the Predators have been able to accomplish over the past 2 months, it's remarkable. And they have two lines that really seem to be clicking. The quote-unquote herd line, which, by the way, led Predators forward lines in 5-on-5 ice time on Saturday. They had 13 minutes of 5-on-5 ice time on Saturday. And the Cali Yarncroke, Mikhail Granlund, Luke Cunningham line, which of course scored two big goals. The difference for me between the Hurricanes and the Predators is when you think about the Hurricanes' top forwards, Sebastian Aho, Andre Svechnikov, Jordan Staal, Vincent Trocheck, I think you can count on them to show up. The names that I did not mention in talking about the Predators' top forward line, I didn't mention Philip Forsberg, I didn't mention Ryan Johansson, I didn't mention Matt Duchene, and I didn't mention Victor Arvidsson. I think the question is, can the Predators' highest paid forwards play to the level that they are expected to be playing, play to the level of the so-called second and fourth lines, and match the top forwards on the Hurricanes when it comes to scoring and making big plays? You know, for all the good that the Predators have done over the past 2 months, I still have questions about the top paid forwards on this team.
What did you make of the news concerning Pekka that came out Friday afternoon and possibly finishing out his career back at home in Finland? What did you make of that? Also, look, I think all signs are pointing to, I mean, I just would be shocked. I don't know what's the right word, shocked. There's probably several other words that fit the same category if Pekka is not in net tonight. I really, floored, shocked, whatever you want to use, fill in the blank. I think he's going to play tonight, but that's just my opinion. What did you make? Let's start with the news. What did you make of that? Did that change anything for you thinking about the situation moving forward over the weekend, or was it a whole lot to do about nothing? What did you think?
So you're referring to a report that was in a Finnish newspaper last week that said that the local team, Karpat, I'm probably mispronunciating that, a team that Pekka Rinne, I believe, began his professional career with, or, you know, 20-something years ago, or close right to 20 years ago, is, you know, has had conversations with Pekka about possibly returning to the team at the conclusion of his NHL career. Here's what I can tell you. I spoke to the general manager of that team, who, by the way, is the father of Sebastian Aho, Ari Aho. I corresponded with him over email over the weekend to further the reporting. And he told me that no decision's been made, that when Pekka was in Finland before returning to the United States for the season, you know, during the off season, that they had conversations, but Pekka had not made any determinations about his career. So they're just conversations in case Pekka decides, you know, to go back to Europe and play in Europe if his NHL career comes to an end, or when it comes to an end. So to me, it's really much do about nothing. I mean, I can't imagine Pekka being done. When his NHL career is over. So if he wants, you know, think about what Jaromir Jagr has done. I don't know if Pekka's going to play until he's 50 like Jagr. But, you know, nothing is imminent that you know, there is no expectation that Pekka is going to leave the NHL this offseason and go play in Europe. It's just an option for him if he wants to continue his career not in the NHL.
If he does play tonight, what do you think it's going to be like in Bridgestone?
I think it's going to be emotional because we do not know, you know, what the future holds for Pekka. I think it would make all the sense in the world. I agree with you, Darren. It is meaningless. Let's put it to you this way: in terms of the outcome of the game, mm-hmm. as long as nobody gets hurt, the right. result of the game is meaningless. So, you know, when was the last time Pekka played? A month ago.
It makes sense, but it's about right.
Yeah, it makes sense for him to get another start because UC Saros, of course, is going to be the starting goaltender in the playoffs. And considering how great the atmosphere has been in these games recently since they increased the capacity at Bridgestone Arena to 33%, I absolutely believe that Pekka deserves one more game this season. I mean, like you said, it's not confirmed that Pekka Rinne is not going to play again next season. He still could play. But considering the situation and the uncertainty, you know, I think it would be a cathartic experience for a lot of fans to see Pekka in that at least one more time this season. So I expect him to start. I would be surprised if he didn't.
Adam, I know that none of us have been able to be around the team. We haven't been in the locker room this season. It's just been a different set of circumstances. But we've got enough time logged with Pekka over the years. And I'm just curious because – I don't know. I mean, I've been around Pekka since the beginning. He's been here. But obviously you don't have those conversations, or at least I can't think of a time that's ever been blurted out there. But I'm going to just ask you, just out of curiosity. We know that he's a new father. We know that, you know, life has changed. It's going to change for you. Life is about to change a little bit later this calendar year. And, you know, so he's got that going on in his life. He's going to be, you know, close to 40. But – do we know – so this is when you start thinking about all these things, and he has spent his entire career, you know, he's a good bulk of his adult life in Nashville. Do we have any idea on if Pekka, when post-NHL career, if he was planning on ever staying here and living like a lot of formers do, or does he go back home and reside back in Finland? Have you ever had a conversation with him or ever heard – anything of the sort of that come out of his mouth of plans after hockey?
You know, I've talked about it with him a little bit over the years, not directly in terms of asking, hey, what are you going to do when you're not playing anymore? Mm-hmm. But just based on the conversations we've had over the years just about life, he spends as much time in Finland as he can. You know, he's not one of those guys that sticks around, you know, during the summertime.
Right.
As soon as he's available to go to Finland, he goes to Finland. And I think he started, like when the pause first happened last year, he started here, but then went back to Finland before returning to Nashville for the training camp in the summertime. So just based on that, I would expect him to go back to Finland. Things can change, of course. You're right. A lot of former Predators players have planted roots in Nashville. And I could see Pekka keeping a house here, but I would expect him, just based on the conversations I've had with him over the past number of years, that he will go back to Finland. You know, his family's there. His partner's family's there. I'm sure he wants to be around his family now that he has a son. I would expect him to return to Finland and live in Finland primarily.
We're talking to the head of the table, Adam Vingan from The Athletic, getting the look at the Predators tonight as they take on Carolina, and then, of course, this playoff series as well. In everything that we've talked about with you, Adam, over the last, you know, 5 or so months, and we've had a lot of in-depth conversations, candid conversations about the direction of this team, what they should do, how has your, professional opinion of the coaching job of John Hines maybe changed in the last couple of months watching what this team has been able to do considering everything that has been thrown against them?
Yeah, and some of which has been thrown against them was of their own doing. There's been a lot they've had to go through, yes, but some of it was their own fault, for lack of a better phrase. I've always had a lot of respect for John Hines. You know, you'll remember in February, I think it was, which seems like eons ago, I wrote a story basically saying that the reasons for the Predators' struggles were not John Hines' fault. You know, I blamed it on the players, and, you know, I took a lot of heat for that take. I've gotten some comments on the story I wrote today about whether we should consider this season a success regardless of what happens in the playoffs. And some of the comments in the stories, you know, have said, like, there was one reader who said that he was anti-Hines from the beginning, but he's changed his tune or at least has more confidence in John Hines. You know, this is my sense of things, that, you know, John Hines has seemed to tap into something that has resonated with these players. I think that this team really needed a swift kick in the rear end. I really do think that complacency had set in that dressing room, among the veterans specifically. I feel like, and you saw it, I think, at the beginning of the season, too. Like, I feel like the level of commitment, and John Hines has said this many times, the level of commitment, the self-sacrifice just wasn't there. And the injuries, I think, were a blessing in disguise, because it allowed younger players, hungrier players, to step up, which pushed the veterans. I mean, how many times have we heard the veteran players say that the rookies have been great because they're lively, they're energetic, they're working hard, and it makes those players work even harder. So I think John Hines has done an incredible job this season. I think he deserves a lot of credit for what we've witnessed over the past number of weeks. And I was interested to see my colleague at The Athletic, Pierre LeBrun, poll GMs for their Jack Gaddams Award votes. And I was surprised not to see John Hines receive one vote in that informal poll. I know that the first half of the season was a dud, but I do not believe that the Predators make the playoffs if John Hines doesn't press all the right buttons. So, you know, I think he deserves a whole ton of credit for what's happened over the past number of weeks.
So the focus right now is obviously the playoffs and seeing what happens from there. But do you believe that what needs to happen during the off season, you know, those moves, do you think that those are obvious now, or do you still need to see maybe what happens with some of those players on this playoff run, however long or short it may be?
Yeah, my opinion on the future of the team, at least the immediate future of the team, has changed slightly. In late February, early March, I thought this team needed to be detonated. I don't so much believe that anymore, mostly because of the younger players. Now, are any of those players elite prospects? No, but they've all contributed to this team being where it is. Think about where the Predators would be without Elie Tolvanen, Tanner Jeannot, Matthew Olivier, Jakob Trenin, Alex Carrier. You know, think about where this team would be without those players. You know, so I think the future does not seem as bleak. But at the same time, a championship does not seem on the immediate horizon. And tough decisions are going to have to be made. You know, I fully admit, you know, I was on the trade every veteran with an expiring contract train before the trade deadline. And that includes Mikael Granlund. And that's another player. Think about where this team would be without Mikael Granlund. Mm-hmm. And to me, you know, Mikael Granlund has surpassed some of the quote-unquote top forwards on this team. You know, it looks like he could be, you know, a long-term answer at second-line center. But what does that mean for Matthew Shane, for example? And Mikael Granlund's going to need a new contract, and you also have to think about new contracts for Philip Forsberg and Matthias Ekholm down the line. Something's got to give. And I would have a hard time imagining all four of Forsberg, Arvidsson, Johansson, and Duchesne being on the team next year. I still think there needs to be changes made, but I do not believe they need to be as drastic as I thought they were, as I thought they did 2 months ago.
So as we look at tonight and speculating that some guys may get a rest, could you see young Philip Tomasino making his NHL debut?
Well, correct me if I'm wrong here. Has he been recalled from the taxi? Recalled from the American League? I haven't seen anything to that effect.
That's a good point. I'm not sure.
So the AHL is weird this year. So they're not having a traditional Calder Cup playoff. And I think the AHL basically left it to each division to determine what they're going to do in the postseason. I think like the Western division, the team, you know, the division with the teams with, you know, in California and whatnot, I think they're actually going to have divisional playoffs. The Central Division, where the Wolves are not going to have playoffs. Basically, whichever team finishes in first is going to win the trophy, and that's it. So I could see Philip Tomasino being a part of the roster in the postseason. But, you know, unless I'm missing something, I haven't seen him recalled from the American League, so I wouldn't expect him to play.
So how do you answer how this plays out? Because, you know, I think it's a good water cooler topic this week for fans, right? The fans, by the way, the atmosphere was awesome Saturday. It'll be awesome again tonight, over 7,100 in the building, and will be increased for the playoffs. But how do you answer what you said you put out on The Athletic? However this all plays out, now obviously a long run answers that, but what if it's not? How is this season going to be viewed? How should it be viewed?
Yeah, that's the big question. Like I said, I think the future seems less bleak than it did in January and February and in the early part of March. I still think this team needs to be realigned, for lack of a better term, in some way. Because ultimately, even though the Predators played at a 118-point pace over the second half of the season, I do not think they are a legitimate Stanley Cup contender. But all hope is no longer lost. So I think if the Predators find a way to upset the Hurricanes, then in my opinion, this season is a resounding success, because I don't think anybody expects that to happen. I think if the Predators lose in the first round but make the series competitive, if they lose in, let's say, six games, but the games aren't blowouts, they're tight games, a couple games go to overtime, they're competitive against the Hurricanes. I think for the first time in a few...
Oh, no. Did we lose it?
Oh, right at the end.
Right, the cliffhanger. I think we lost it.
I think we did.
Well, it was at the
end. I think they've got young players they can count on.
He's back. You went away for a second. You went away for about 10 seconds, actually. Go ahead.
What was the last thing I said that you heard?
We were waiting for the cliffhanger. You had transitioned to the other side, and then if it's close, six games, and then you kind of went away.
Okay. So, yes, if the Predators are competitive against the Hurricanes in the first round, I think you can feel good about the direction of the team. It's not perfect. Major changes still need to be made, but like I said, if you would have asked me this question, and you did ask me this question, mm-hmm. 2 months ago, I would have said this team is a lost cause. It needs to be detonated. It needs, you know, you basically trade everybody who's not nailed down to the floorboards and start again. I don't think you need to do that anymore. I think John Hines is the right coach for this group right now, and I think there are reasons for optimism for the first time in 2 or 3 years, in my opinion.
Adam, good stuff as always. Just remember, this was your last free Mother's Day. Okay, this was the last time you got a free pass. Like, moving forward.
No, I didn't get a free pass. Bridget still got a gift.
And that's the right – I'm saying, though, you are definitely on the hook. No matter what you did yesterday, moving forward, you better get it right, or you'll be in hot water. She may detonate you.
I was going to give her a gift card, but it never showed up.
So. I put it on a tee, and you knocked it out.
Decided, Adam, that since Willie is over on the east side, we're going to give it to Willie, and now it's in his hands.
It needs to be delivered to my front door
All right, good. We'll get your address. We'll put you on hold. Adam Vinken from The Athletic. We're going to get his new address, and we're going to take care of business. That's what we're going to do. Chase, I'm going to propose something to you on the other side on how we wrapped up with Adam. My thoughts moving forward, and I want to find out if you agree or disagree with what they need to truly, I guess, push this thing to the level it needs to be. And I will do that on the other side to close out hour number one as you listen to Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
But first, I'm going to tell you about my friends at BetMGM because they truly are my friends. I have a lot of fun with that app, and I can tell you how you can score a major payday this May. See what they did there? With BetMGM. It's the best time to sign up for the King of Sportsbooks because they're giving new customers a shot at an easy $100. Just register using the code 1025GAME100 and win $100 in free bets when you place a $1 moneyline wager on the Grizzlies or the Pelicans. And if either team hits a three, you're a winner. It's that simple. Whether you're raising the stakes on basketball and hockey playoffs or wagering on your favorite baseball team, BetMGM is always ready for action, just like me. Enjoy innovative parlay selection builders, daily promotions, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com. Use that code 1025GAME100 to win $100 when you bet just $1 on the Grizzlies or the Pelicans and either team hits a three. New customer offer, paid in free bets. You must be 21 years or older, must be in Tennessee. Visit BetMGM.com for a full list of terms and conditions. For problem gambling support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789.
Wow, I feel good. I knew that I would not. I feel good. I knew that I would not. So good, so good. I got to hear
this song. This song. This song should have been playing on the way out the door Saturday night, right? Because everybody was feeling good in Smashville Saturday night. It was quite the atmosphere. We were sitting there in Barrel House, Chase. By the way, it was nice to have people just come in there and just hang out again. And, of course, they're back open for business in Barrel House. And people just walking around the concourse and doing Predators chants. It was pretty cool. This was before we got started on postgame. It's been a while since we've had that feeling and that atmosphere. And, boy, people were feeling good Saturday night for sure.
Yeah, and they should.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, you can. I was just saying, yeah, they should feel good.
Don't miss the cure for our friend's Cystic Fibrosis Golf Tournament. That'll be on May 15th. That's coming up in 5 days. That's a 12 stones golf course in Goodlettsville. Some of the teams include retired Titans football players who will be hanging around after the tournament for an after party, which includes catered dinner and live music. Cure for our friend's golf tournament still has a need for some silent auction items. More information can be found at cureforourfriends.org. Thanks to Dad's Towing, Mitchell Motors, and Nashville Wrecker Services for being the tournament sponsors for the 2021 Cure for Our Friends Cystic Fibrosis Golf Tournament. Hope you can help out. Like I said, that tournament is just 5 days away. Okay, here's what I have to say about what the, and I understand this is, you're right, some of this is needs to be saved for the offseason, but since we were talking about it with Adam, I do think, just because I've been thinking about this, and, you know, it, on one hand, it's a cool stat because you think about you're having success and you're in the playoffs, and that's seven straight years, and it hasn't always been. But the stat that jumps out at me is, do you know how many players they have in the league that are in the top 100 in points?
No.
Just take a guess.
How many... How'd you word it? What'd you say?
How many players do they have on this roster that are in the, top 100 in scoring in points?
Zero.
Yeah, zero. You tell me, do you need – I just kind of feel like they need a prolific score. If you really want to take – look, it's great to have production all around, right? That's saying they're getting production from everywhere, and that's great. But tell me if you buy or don't buy that you need – you also need – sometimes there's just going to be games in a course of a long season or in a playoff series where you just have to rely on your star player, your best player, to be the star player, right? And be the best player and to carry your team or will your team to a victory. I mean, the Titans have that in Derrick Henry, do they not? I mean, he is a star elite player in the league. He is the best running back in the NFL. Has been the last two seasons. And if you truly want to win, and if you truly have the best chance to win a single game, whether it's the Kansas City Chiefs, whether it's the Tampa Bay Bucks, whether it's the Baltimore Ravens or the Buffalo Bills, whatever, you truly have to rely on him, right? Like, he has to produce. If he doesn't produce, you're probably not going to win.
So you're basically saying a point per game guy.
I don't want to. No, I don't want to. Well, I mean, that's. I mean, point per game.
And I mean, it's unfair to say McDavid because McDavid's in a.
Yeah. That's what I. Okay, that's what I thought you were going. Like, McDavid is like no. Like, we're not. Like, that's ridiculous. Like, nobody can compare. You can't use McDavid as the example. I wouldn't even use Draisaitl, either one of those guys.
And like, but maybe Ovechkin now, but not. I know what you mean, though. Like a guy.
Do they need a guy that's going to be over 30 goals, flirt, or have 40 goals in a season?
Yes.
Do they need that? Do they have to have that?
Well,
to truly be considered like a serious contender. Look, they're not considered right now, but doesn't mean that they can't, you know, win games. It doesn't mean that they can't win the series, keep advancing the playoffs. We see it all the time. You just have to get hot. They have the number one ingredient, which is the hot goaltender, right? So that is going in their favor. But do you believe that you have to have that prolific score to truly be a team that somebody's going to consider for the long run?
I think the answer is yes, but I also think that they have thought that they had that. And you do wonder if Philip Forsberg, because think about the last handful of years, what, at least the last three, he has missed significant time due to an injury. Now, with that said, I also understand that even when he is playing, he's streaky. You know, there are times where he will cool off and you're just not seeing him score the goals that everybody is used to seeing him score. So I would say yes, and that's something that they need to look at of, you know, maybe you need to go get that guy that can do that on a more consistent basis. And then the return on that could be that it fires Philip Forsberg up even more. And you do have and I'm using this as an example simply not because of the talent, but because of what you see in Edmonton. But then you could have like your version of McDavid and Draisaitl, maybe not to that level, but you could have two. Because I do think that that's something that could help Philip, but yeah, I think they do. And who knows, maybe Tolvanen becomes that guy, maybe Tomasino becomes that guy. I think it's way too early to tell if either one of them are going to be on that track, but I think what you're saying is a consistent night in, night out, you know, if the puck is on that guy's stick, 9 times out of 10 he's probably going to put it in the back of the net. And
it's like, do you believe have to have that?
I think you do. I think you do. I think a lot of, I mean, think about the teams that we're always talking about that are there in contention. Okay. So like when Pittsburgh was on their run, did they have that guy? Yeah, they had a couple.
By the way, they've been to the playoffs 16 years in a row and they have that guy. And once again, I'm not saying you have, like, he's going to go down as one of the greatest of all time. So I hesitate to use those as examples, right? Because it's not about having the greatest of all time. I mean, there's some middle ground, right? It's like you don't have a guy in the top 100, but we're also saying it doesn't have to be number one or number two, right? Like there's somewhere in the middle. Like can you get a guy in the 50s or 60s in that range, right?
Sure.
In the league? Is that fair or unfair? I don't know. Because to your point, when Tampa won it last year, did they have that guy? Yeah. Has he played this season? No. Kucherov is ridiculous, right? I mean, he's a guy like McDavid. He'll flirt with 100 points every year. I mean, I don't know. Is Carolina – maybe your pushback is – well, Carolina doesn't have that guy that's flirting with those type of numbers. But, you know, Aho's pretty special. He's a pretty special player. Huberto has been fantastic since coming to Carolina, right? So
sure.
I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I kind of feel like, though – in sports, you do need kind of like that guy that can take over, because it's not always like having production all around and being well balanced is nice, But what about the night when it's just not working, right? It's just not happening, and you just kind of need your star to be a star. Those games do happen.
Sure.
A lot more than we would like to believe.
I think that teams that are successful, they have the game changer guy. And this team has a lot of good players and players that, you know, could potentially become that guy, but you know, how many times do you use the word potential and we know where that goes? I mean, I think you got to be careful with that, and they need to find it. We got a text, and I have made the executive decision, if you don't put your name on a text, I'm going to make up one for you. So this is Hector. We will never win a cup if we don't get at least one forward on the level of McKinnon, Kucherov, Aho, etc. Those guys can take games over by themselves. And I 100% agree with that. Now, I go back to I believe that on some nights, Forsberg can do that, but it's not consistent. And whether that's because he gets hurt.
Well, it's not. It's only in patches. I'm talking about for a season, for an entire season and through the playoffs. Like stretches or months, you know, having, you know, February be a great month. That's great. And you're blazing hot and maybe the best player in the league for a month. But overall, like staying healthy, being there and you know, upright for 82 games or in this case 56 games and in through the playoffs – I don't think there's anybody. I mean, yeah, we keep – I mean, at some point, like, we can keep talking about Philip Forsberg over and over and over again, like, what he can be. But at some point, you do have to do it, right? I mean, he's not like this is year one or two in the league. Like, we're still waiting for that real explosion every single year because we all see the talent. We all know what's there, but it hasn't happened. And so it's just all us – it's just all of us keep projecting, like, you know, he could be that guy, and if he could just stay healthy, that's all great. But yeah, there's a lot of guys in the league that you could say that about, right? A lot. So you still have to see it. So is he probably the closest one to being that guy? Yeah, I know that. But is it to the level of all the guys that we just mentioned? No, it's just not
right. And that's, you know, that's the thing that drives people nuts is because, you know, when you see those patches, like you said, you think, oh, he can be that guy. You know, he can be a 40 goal scorer. Like you see it, but he just doesn't put it together over the course of a season. But the question is going to be, where do you find that guy? You know, is he in the pipeline? Is he, you know, Tomasino or Tolvanen, you know, one of those guys, or do you have to go out and make a trade or sign somebody in free agency and find that guy? Most of the names that we have thrown out there for these other teams, they're homegrown. I mean, so, you know, Ovi was drafted by Washington. Crosby, drafted by Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. You know, McKinnon, Colorado.
Yep.
So these are all homegrown guys. McDavid.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Draisaitl.
Draisaitl, yep.
Yeah, I mean,
they're all true.
So that's what you have to find. And you know, Philip is – I know he was drafted by Washington, but he's – pretty much been developed here.
Yeah, he was 19.
Right. So you can say he's homegrown, but I think that's what they're going to have to do is, you know, find that guy in the draft. But here's the counter to that. To truly get that guy, you're not going to be very good because that's how you get that draft pick.
Do you believe though that's the only way? Do you believe it's not here?
I don't think it's
not currently on the roster.
I mean, I haven't seen Tomasino play an NHL game.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the problem.
It's impossible to answer that.
And I've seen Tolvanen, but it's taken him a while, maybe longer than people wanted him to get to that point. But it's still a very small sample size. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to say that no, they're not in the organization, but like today I'm sitting here saying that I don't see it.
He's got 11 goals in 39 games. I mean, that would put him on track to be around Craig Smith numbers.
Right.
Right. About 24, 25.
Which is
for
good.
A season, right?
That's
not what we're talking about. That's exactly right. That's my point. Like, that's good and that's okay. But the question is, do you need that person that's a step above that? Right. 24, 25 goals in a season is nothing. There's nothing, no shame in that whatsoever. Like, you can do a whole lot of winning with a couple of those guys on your roster for sure, and they've got that. I think they've got that. But do they? What about the extra step guy, the guy that's the notch above that? Do you need that? And I just the reason I bring it up is because obviously I think you probably do, right? I think you need because over the course of a long run, over the course of like they're about to embark on, you're just going to need that guy to take over. There's just going to be times when you're going to need that person to win the game for you, and I don't know. That's why I brought it up. Do you think that that guy exists on this team, or do they somehow have to find a way to get that guy? I mean,
yeah.
You could also say, and it may not be because of the stats necessarily, even though he was very productive, but maybe not to the production because of his age that we're talking about. But you can get really impactful guys for times like this. Wouldn't you say that Pavelski has been extremely impactful to that Dallas Stars roster?
Absolutely he has.
And think about where he's at in his career.
Sure.
I mean, he's more towards the end of his career, and he has been very productive, especially on the power play. And just overall, like what he brings to the table, he has made a huge difference to the Dallas Stars roster. I mean, they went to the Stanley Cup Final last year. They hung around this year when they had no business hanging around, and he is a big, big part of that. So, do you have to find a way to get that guy, a glue guy, a core guy? Do they have that? Is that guy exist? Or do they have to figure out a way to get that guy? Just a thought that I had
it's a
as
good
we
question.
Wrapped up things with Adam. The Colts have made a big signing. We'll bring in TD. We'll talk with TD to begin the second hour. What does that mean for the AFC South? Also talk about the Titans on the other side. As you listen, Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.